Kings chapter 17, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. This past week, Baseball Hall of Famer and American icon Yogi Berra died. Yogi Berra was a great Yankee. But although he was a Hall of Fame baseball player and a great Yankee, he was probably better known for his yogiisms. How many know what a yogiism is? Okay. Yogiisms are statements that Yogi Berra made that left us scratching our heads. What were some of those yogiisms? One of them was this: when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Take it. That makes sense. Yogi said, it ain't over till it's over. He also said, it's like deja vu all over again. You guys really know these yogiisms. That's good. Yogi Berra also said, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. And I love this one. Yogi Berra said, always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, they won't come to yours. Well, he had a bunch of yogiisms. We're not going to share any more. But these yogiisms really have nothing at all to do with my sermon. I just felt like sharing them this morning. And so I hope you enjoy those. But I love to read some of those yogiisms. Well, we're back today in the life of Elijah. The brook Cherith, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, had been both a refuge and a refinery for Elijah. At Cherith, Elijah was safe from Ahab and Jezebel. Here in Cherith, his needs were met by the cold water of the brook and the food that the ravens brought to him. And here by the brook Cherith, he learned about his God in a new and a real way. And yet, as we saw a couple weeks ago, the brook eventually dried up. It dried up according to the word that God had given him to tell Ahab and the children of Israel. And so as the brook dries up, and it's not Elijah's fault, but as the brook dries up, once again, he's in a place where he is totally reliant upon God. And he had to listen to the voice of God for refuge, for continued refinement. Follow as I read 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. Today we're going to look from this passage at the miracle of Zarephath. As I said a moment ago, the brook had dried up. The place of refuge was gone, and now it was time for Elijah to again be on the move, again to listen to the voice of God. And that brings us to number one today, the directives of God. Directives of God. In verse 8, we see that he came to Elijah. Verse 8 said, then the word of the Lord came to him. I think this is important. God didn't make Elijah search for him. God didn't make Elijah look for him and say, God, what do I do now? The brook has dried up. I have no water. I think the fact that God came to Elijah speaks volumes about God's care and God's concern for Elijah. He didn't put Elijah at Cherith and forget all about him. He knew he was there. He remembered him. He hadn't forgotten Elijah, and he always knew exactly where Elijah was. Beloved, you know that God always knows exactly where we are too. He always knows where we are. He knows the trials we're facing. He knows the burdens on our heart. He knows if our brook has dried up. And the Bible says in Hebrews that this same God will never ever leave us or forsake us. Folks, He knows us. He knows what we need when we need it. I'm so thankful that the Bible has so many promises that bring us encouragement when the brook is dried up. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." In Psalm 49, 15 and 16, the Bible says this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands." You see, God came to Elijah. He hadn't forgotten about Elijah. He knew exactly where he was, and he came to him. And folks, God knows exactly where we are today. He knows what we need. He hasn't forgotten us. And he will come to us just as he came to Elijah. And so the directives of God, the first step was God came to Elijah. Secondly, he commanded Elijah. In verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you." You see, God not only knew where Elijah was, he also knew where Elijah needed to be. He knew where he was at Cherith, and he knew he needed to go to a different place, Zarephath. And so he says, "Arise." In verse 9, "Arise." He said, start to prepare. Prepare for a new adventure. Prepare to go to a new place. And then he said, after arise, he said, go. Get moving. Arise and go to Zarephath. Get moving. This would be scary for Elijah. You know, over those three and a half years, he was at, the time it was that he was at Cherith, he got accustomed to the birds of the air bringing him food in the morning and the evening to the brook. He got accustomed to the way things were. And this was going to be scary because going from Cherith to Zarephath was about a 100-mile trek. And it was a trek through dangerous territory. You see, Ahab and especially Jezebel were after his head. And so he says, arise and get going to Zarephath. That would have been scary. But it also says this, go to Zarephath and dwell there. Dwell there. He was saying, you're going to stay a while. You're not just going to, you've stayed a while where you've been, and you're going to go to a new place, and you're going to stay a while. Dwell there. Dwell there. And I think the reason for that is the ministry that God would have for Elijah was going to take a little bit of time there in Zarephath. He wasn't an evangelist passing through town. He was going to go there as the prophet of God and make a difference in that land. And so he says, go and dwell there. And then he says this, when you get there, there's going to be a widow that's going to take care of you. Now at Cherith, remember how he was taken care of? What was it that brought him food? The ravens, the birds of the air, the ravens brought him food. He was taken care of through the beautiful, cold, crisp water of the brook. But now he's going to be cared for a different way. Remember this. This might have been hard for him to adjust to, because remember this. This guy was a tough guy. He was a rough guy. When we did the introduction, a few weeks ago, we saw the fact that he came from a rough and tumble land. He had to work hard to exist. Then God called him and raised him up. And now he's saying, you're going to go to a place, and who's going to take care of him? A widow. A widow. Now, I don't know about you, but perhaps this might have bothered him a little bit. What do you mean, God? I can take care of who? Myself. I can take care of myself. I'm a prophet of God. He says, no, go, and there's going to be a widow that'll take care of you. One of the biggest blessings of my life was helping to take care of my widowed mother-in-law with my wife for 10 years. When Jeannie's father went to be with the Lord, her mom didn't want to be alone. She moved in with us when we lived in Michigan. About 6 months later, we moved down here, and she moved right down with us. For 10 years, she lived with us, and then 2 years ago, God took her home to heaven, and we helped to take care of her, and it was a privilege to do that. But I can hardly imagine her taking care of me, her taking care of us. It's hard to imagine that. And this is what God is saying. You're going to go, and you're going to go to this place, and there's going to be a widow. Doesn't have much at all, but she's going to take care of you. And so what we see in verses 8 and 9 is that God's directives were clear to Elijah. Elijah, the brooks run dry. Elijah, it's time to go. Arise, go. Stay there a while. And while you're there, a widow will take care of you. They were the directives of God. And God's directives to us don't always come the exact same way. We know they do through His Word and through the Spirit of God and through prayer. But His directives come different ways to us. But they came directly to Elijah. And so we knew what to do. The directives of God. Number two, we see the diligence of Elijah. Verse 10 says this, so he arose and went to Zarephath. We see obedient actions. What did he do? He arose. He went to Zarephath as he had been commanded by God. And as I said a moment ago, this was a long trek across the wilderness. This was about 100 miles. You say, 100 miles isn't that far. Well, not that far if you're in an automobile. But if you're walking, 100 miles is going to take a little bit of time. And so he began his walk. He arose and he went to Zarephath. Let me tell you a little bit about this city. Zarephath was a Gentile city. Not Jewish, it was Gentile. Zarephath was located on the Mediterranean coast of southern Sidon. And what we need to really understand about this city, it was the heart of Baal worship. It was the heart of Baal worship. This is probably the Mecca back in those days of worship of Baal, Zarephath. And so the question obviously comes to us, why would God send Elijah here? God's trying to protect him. God's trying to preserve him to be the prophet that he was called to be. So why would he send Elijah to Zarephath? One commentator wrote this, Zarephath is located in Phoenicia, the very heart of Baalism. Here Yahweh will defeat Baal in his own territory. Here God's people will fare better than Baal's. In fact, the main purpose of this narrative is to demonstrate on Phoenician soil, where Baal is worshipped, that Yahweh has power over things in which Baal has failed. Since Baal worshippers explained the drought as a sign that Baal was dead, he could not help the widow and her son. In the absence of Baal, who lies impotent, Yahweh, Jehovah God, steps in to assist the widow and the orphan. It is also done in Jezebel's native land. Because Yahweh exists and Baal does not, Elijah possesses power Jezebel and her prophets do not. God was sending Elijah into the belly of the beast. Sending him to probably the most dangerous place in the world in human thinking. Because he wanted the name of Yahweh to stand tall. Jezebel's home. And so what happens? He arose and went to Zarephath, verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. It happens just as the Lord told him it would. After this long, long walk of 100 miles or so, he finally comes to Zarephath, and the first thing he sees at the gate of the city is the widow. And the widow was gathering sticks. She was getting sticks so she could make a fire, so she could cook. And when he comes, he calls to her, he meets her, and he does two things. In verse 10, he requests water. He said, please bring me a little cup of water that I may drink. And that didn't seem to faze her any. This stranger comes to her and he says, I need some water. Would you get me some water? And it doesn't really faze her, and she starts to do it. Verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said something else. He requested bread. He said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Obedient actions. God said, arise, go to Zarephath. He arises, he goes to Zarephath. He gets there. He's told by God, a widow will take care of you. He sees the widow at the gate of the city and he begins to talk to her. The diligence of Elijah, obedient actions, but also overwhelming odds. Overwhelming odds, verse 12. The widow responds. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and what? Die. That we may eat it and die. Folks, do you get the sense of desperation here? Of desperation? This widow was desperate. She was poor. She was bereaved. I don't know how much earlier her husband had died. I don't think it had been very long. She was poor. She was bereaved. She was starving. She had a hungry son that she was trying to take care of, and she had no bread, only a little flour and oil. My friends, this woman, this widow, had no clue. No clue whatsoever how she would survive, how her son would survive, let alone feed a stranger. And we know how desperate she is when she says to Elijah, I'm going to prepare a little bread that we may eat it, and then I'm going to die. She was literally saying, I'm looking at this as my last meal. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm looking at this as my last meal for my son and myself. Overwhelming odds. Do you ever feel like the odds are overwhelming? And it might not be for food. It may be for other things. It may be emotional or mental or spiritual battles that we face, and the odds seem overwhelming. That's how she felt physically. I don't have anything. I'm going to eat this and I'm going to die. Yet in verses 13 and 14, we see that God brought Elijah to her at her deepest time of need. We see outstanding faith. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Do not fear. This is where it starts. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. This was obviously an impossible situation humanly. It was impossible. The lady, the widow, thought she was about to die. She had absolutely no hope. And when we have no hope, we have nothing. Her eyes were focused on how little she had. And beloved, that's understandable. All she had been through, all she was going through, and her whole focus was on she had so very little. She had hardly enough to keep her alive. So it was an impossible situation. And yet she comes face to face with a man who had faced impossible situations before. Elijah had faced impossible situations before Ahab. He had faced impossible situations at the brook Cherith. And it says this in verse 13. He said, "Do not fear, but do this, go, and do as you have said, but make me a small cake or a small loaf of bread from it, and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus the Lord God of Israel, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Elijah's faith was strong. And he says to the widow, he says, "Go and do what you said you were going to do, but first make me a loaf of bread." That didn't make any sense humanly. She had already said, "I have no bread. I have a little flour. I'm going to make something for my son and I, and then that's it, and we're going to die." And he said, "Yes, make something for your son and yourself, but first make me some bread. Make me some bread." And he assured her that if she did this, she'd be okay. If she did this, the flour will not be used up, the jar of oil will not run dry until rain begins to come down on the face of the earth. What kind of faith do you need today? What kind of faith do we need? You see, sometimes the odds seem overwhelming, and the only way to combat overwhelming odds is outstanding faith. That's the kind of faith that Elijah had. And that brings us then to three, the delight of the widow. The delight of the widow, verse 15. "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days." As she obeyed the voice of God through the prophet of God, she enjoyed God's provision. She went and did what Elijah commanded her to do. And you know what? She was not disappointed. She was not disappointed. And what did she get? Nothing fancy. Just biscuits and water. Biscuits and water. It says in verse 15, "She and her household ate for many days." Morning, she had biscuits and water. Evening, she had biscuits and water. It wasn't fancy. It was nothing elaborate. But she and her son and Elijah had everything that they needed through those biscuits and water. She enjoyed God's provision. She and her household ate for many days, and then she experienced God's power. Verse 16. "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." You know what's really neat here? This poor widow woman met a providing God in her kitchen every day. She didn't have a fancy kitchen. She had probably a brick oven. That she put the sticks in to make a fire each day. But every day in her kitchen, she met Yahweh. She did not meet Baal. Baal did not meet her there in the kitchen. She met Yahweh, and she met another name for God, Jehovah Jireh, which means "our God will provide." She met the Lord every day, in the morning and in the evening, in her kitchen, when she prepared bread for her family. You see, this poor widow experienced the God who cares for the poor and needy. This poor widow experienced a God who cared for her, and His name was Yahweh. His name was Jehovah. His name was not Baal. How do you need to experience God's provision and power today? Because the same God who provided for this poor widow is there to provide for you and me today. That brings us, as we close, to the delineation of truth. I've told you we're going to try and make application to each of these stories about the life of Elijah. And so we look at the delineation of truth, the application. One is this: God's directives are sometimes surprising. We should still be obedient. They're sometimes surprising. We should still be obedient. Our God is sovereign. Guess what? You and I aren't. He is infinite. He knows all. He sees the entire picture. Our view is often cloudy. And when God reveals His will to you or to me, we need to be obedient. We need to do it. It must have puzzled Elijah. Get up and go to Zarephath, 100-mile trek across rough terrain where people were looking for him to kill him. And then when you get there, a little widow lady is going to take care of you. And yet he obeyed. Sometimes what he tells us to do surprises us, but we need to be obedient. Secondly, God's provisions are exactly what we need. Be thankful. What God provides is what we need. Let's be thankful. Biscuits and water aren't exactly four-star dining, okay? I mean, there wasn't even gravy with these biscuits, okay? You say, okay, I could live on biscuits and gravy. I'm a West Virginian, you know, I can survive on biscuits and gravy. We don't even see any gravy here. It was biscuits and water. And yet what these biscuits and water did, they filled hungry stomachs. They sustained a family. We need to give thanks to God for all His provisions for us, great and small. This morning, how is Yahweh? How is God directing your steps today? How's He directing you? Another question: are you being diligent in your obedience to the voice of God? You see, often it's God's voice saying to take a little step here and a little step here and a little step here before we wind up at our final destination. It's a step at a time. Are you diligent in your obedience to the voice of God? If He says take a step and we don't know why, what God's doing, are we obedient to take that step? Another question: do you delight in the provisions of God, no matter how simple? No matter how simple. Biscuits. Pretty simple. And yet, through those biscuits, a woman saw the power of the true God, the living God. Beloved, at Cherith, God used a cold brook and the ravens of the air to prepare for Elijah. And at Zarephath, God used a poor, grieving widow to meet His needs. And according to the authority of the Word of God, this same God today is the one who provides for you and for me. As children of God, let's follow His leading. Let's believe His promises. And my friends, let's enjoy His provisions. Even as simple as they might be, let's enjoy everything we get from the good hand of our God. Would you bow with me in prayer? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, just before I pray, God provided for a widow and her son. And God provided for the prophet of God through that widow who trusted Jehovah God. The greatest thing that God has provided for you and me is eternal life through His Son Jesus. Do you know Him today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? You see, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son. And Jesus was sent as the sacrifice for man's sin. He was beaten. He died on an old rugged cross. He shed His precious blood for you and for me. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The message today is the same it was 2,000 years ago. Look and live. Look to the cross. Jesus died that you and I could have eternal life. And if today you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the best you know how, cry out to Him in your heart of hearts. Cry out to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I turn from my sin. Lord, I believe You died for me. Jesus, save me. The Bible says whoever comes to Him, He won't cast out. He won't cast aside. Jesus conquered death 3 days later, and that's the gospel. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, in the quietness of the next few minutes, cry out to Him and accept Him as Savior. And if you know the Lord today, He hasn't just provided for you salvation, He provides so many other things. He provides what we need when we're desperate. Are you desperate today? Are you desperate to hear from heaven? Are you desperate to see God do a great work in your life, in the life of someone else? Do you have deep needs? You don't know where to turn? This woman was about to eat her last meal and die. That's how desperate she was. We have a God that understands when we're desperate and can provide exactly what we need. Cry out to the Lord today. I'm going to give just a few seconds for you quietly to talk to the Lord, then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this story that really happened thousands of years ago. A place on the other side of the world called Zarephath. And yet it happened so that the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. And His name is not Baal. His name is God, Jehovah. The great I Am, Yahweh. Father, may we know today that there is a God in Cross Lanes, West Virginia. And His name is Yahweh. And His name is Jesus the Christ. Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know You as Savior, may this day be the day that they accept You. Lord, for those of us who know You, Lord, may we find great encouragement and strength in this story from Your holy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.